Today is the second in a series of what I've entitled, What Change Does. And what it does, it stretches and becomes, it restarts, there's an intention to it, it produces, it inspires, it amazes, it includes. And we're going to look at different aspects of that over these several weeks. And last week we talked about how change can stretch us. And today, looking at how change becomes something within us. And you know, the overarching scripture that sort of lays out this theme that I want us to always keep in mind is from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 55, verses 8 and 11. And I'm not going to read that word for word. I'll let you do that and on your own. It's almost like a little devotion as we go through this series together. But we read there that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher. And he shares there through the prophet Isaiah that his word, when it goes out from his mouth, it does not return empty. As the old King James, I think, says, doesn't return void. But it goes out and accomplishes the purpose that God set it out to do. And so whatever that is, whatever that purpose is, there is change involved. And God says that will happen because I say it will happen. And as we think about becoming, I ran across that word in our scripture today, and it's an odd title. Even as I say it, change becomes. But it's in our scripture today. You'll see there's a couple places that word comes out, and it just spoke to me as I was putting this series together. We find it's in John chapter 1, where our scripture is from today. But as John opens up the gospel, he talks about the word. And in the Greek, that's logos or logos. I'm not sure which way it's pronounced, but L-O-G-O-S. But the word. He is with God and is God, and all things are made by him. He begins to share that the word is light and the word is life. And the word and that light is the subject of our specific scripture this morning as we look there in the first chapter of gospel, in the Gospel of John, in verses 9 through 14. John shares these words that the true light, that word that he began the chapter with, and he began his whole gospel with, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God for the people of God. You know, we certainly are living in an unprecedented time of world slowdown or even shutdown in many places. And we've seen that happen over the last 4+ months. And it's happened to us in our workplaces. It's happened to us as a church. It's happened in our communities. But I'd like for us to think about how that has impacted us so much in just these few months. It's even caused us to re-examine our priorities in many ways. We've realized that illness, this virus, that information even about it, all of that transfers very quickly because of the speed of our travel and our technology. And, you know, we have airplanes and cars and everything in between that we come into contact with lots of folks around this planet. And our technology allows us to communicate in so many ways. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. But it's all very much quickly disseminated. And it's very unprecedented in what we've had to deal with in these last few months. But our text today highlights an unprecedented unprecedented time, not just in world history, but in spiritual heavenly history. We find ourselves as we look at the Gospels in this moment that Jesus came that first time that we're right at the beginning of the Roman Empire. It was existed around 500 years, and it was just in those first 30 or 40 years of the Roman Empire that our scripture lands us in. We find that with the Roman Empire, there became a common currency and a way to transact. No matter where you were at, you could get a Roman coin and, hey, I want to do business with you. They were about building roads so you could get here and there. And they were able to make connections that were previously not able to be made. And they even they had this Roman citizenship. And we even read about that in the Bible as Paul used his citizenship to get a different kind of treatment at times when they were about ready to abuse him in ways he shouldn't have been abused. And they were able to use and control local governments to do the things that they needed to do. Now, historians will share with us that it was because of the Roman Empire that the gospel was able to spread so easily. And that's a whole other story and maybe a whole other message. And certainly it did. And perhaps God chose that time because the gospel could get out so quickly. But here in our scripture, we see John talking about the word, and he's saying it is the true light. He's here for everyone, and he's coming into the world. That is a dramatic, unprecedented thing, that this light that's meant for everyone is coming into the world. And the thing is, he's already in the world. He created the world, and yet our scripture today tells us that he wasn't recognized. That even happens yet today. This moment that God the Father chose was an unprecedented moment to bring the word, to bring the true light, to say that he was coming into the world. The Jews, his own people, did not accept him, but his message was to be so much more than that. As this moment in earthly history and this moment in spiritual and heavenly history was an unprecedented moment. We're reading about an unprecedented history as we look at our scripture today. And the thing we see is the opportunity to become God's children. There in verse 12, we have the right to become children when we believe on his name. Unprecedented in a way because it is not by our family tree. I don't know if you have someone in your family, and maybe you're one of them. I have a family member who's been working on our genealogy for quite a while, a number of years. It keeps going farther, and it is interesting to learn about your family tree. And we know even in the Old Testament, we can read all those in the Old King James, it was so-and-so begat so-and-so who begat so-and-so. And I know some of us like to, let's just skim over that. But we know even in the Gospel of Matthew, he's very determined, and Luke the same way, but in Matthew, he's determined to show the lineage of Jesus, to say, hey, he belonged right where he's at because of his lineage. But we don't become children of God because of our family tree. We can't trace it back and, oh, there's God the Father, unless we go clear back before Adam and all that, before mankind was even created. It's not because of our family tree. It's not even because some judge sat on a bench and signed some adoption papers, or we were able to be placed in some foster family. It's no human choice that causes us to be children of God. It's not someone just saying, yep, you're a child of God now, and they're able to make that decision for us. It is only because of God. This change can happen in our lives, and we can become his children. Paul explains it in the New Testament that it is like an adoption. God legally adopts us. But I think it's even more than that, and I'm not trying to counteract the Apostle Paul. He's certainly probably more qualified than I am. But it's something we can't even really explain in human terms. It's more an analogy that helps us try to understand it, just like we use analogies to try to understand the Trinity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't fully tell the whole story. And us becoming children of God, It's an unprecedented thing. There's no other kind of relationship like that we can just become children as with God the Father. Scripture even tells us that we're joint heirs with Jesus. At one point, Paul tells us in one of his letters that we can call out to Abba, Father. And that Abba is Aramaic for something we would say in English as dad or daddy. It's a wonderful, loving relationship. It is something we become the moment we believe in the light. The moment we believe in the word that John is sharing here in his gospel. The moment we believe in God the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. The moment we believe in his name. And that right that John speaks about in our scripture today is still here today. 2,000 years later, we have the right to become children when we believe on his name. The word that John writes about is the one that made it possible for that to happen. And that word was able and did become human. The scripture says the word became flesh. God became one of us. And we are able to see his glory as we look at Jesus Christ through the Gospels, as we look at God throughout all of Scripture, as we see the Holy Spirit active in our lives, we're able to see his glory. We're able to see his grace and his truth, and each day come more and more understanding of what that is in our lives, that grace and that truth. You know, as we think about seeing his glory, it's not just Moses only that was able to see it on Mount Sinai as he walked up there. You know, everyone down at the base of the mountain said, wow, there's a lot of thunder and lightning going on up there. Hope Moses is okay. Moses was encountering God. And it's not just visible symbols of his presence or power that we can see out there, whatever, you know, the folks wandering around in the desert. They had the pillar of fire at night, and the pillar of the cloud during the day to guide them as they went. They were able to see those things. And even in the Holy of Holies in the temple, the high priest was the only one able to go into that Holy of Holies but once a year. But they knew that God would come and sit there on the Ark of the Covenant in between the seraph's wings. And Scripture tells us that the glory of God would rest there. And we're talking about something even more spectacular than that, as the word became human. It's just not words or visions from prophets. It is God himself. He became one of us to share his continuing story of redemption. And that story is unprecedented even today, that God would sacrifice his only son so that we can experience eternal life now and forevermore. As we think of that happening, those words in our scripture today, I think each of us need to think about perhaps an unprecedented response in our own lives. For some that are listening today or be listening to the recording at some point in the future, maybe you don't know him as Lord and Savior. Accept him. Believe in him. Our scripture today says you believe in him and you have the right to become a child of God. What a change that comes in our lives when that happens. We can be his child. We can be in his family. And we get all the benefits of that. Now, we also have the expectations of that too, don't we? I don't want to downplay that at all, because once we take on his name, there's an expectation that we're going to behave like his children as well. And the way we do that for all of us, even those of us that have known him for a long time, that claimed him a long time ago, each and every day we need to allow his grace and his truth to be evident in our lives. That's how we behave like his children. That's how the rest of the world is going to know that we are his children. Allowing his grace and his truth to be there. Our scripture today says that when we behold Jesus, when we behold the one and only Son of God, when we behold his glory, we see his grace and his truth. To me, if each of us could just do that better each day, allow that grace and truth in, to me, that's an unprecedented response. Because very few of us muster that up each day to make sure that happens. But we can pray for one another and ask the Holy Spirit, as we talked about him over a number of weeks this summer, to show us that grace, to fill it in our lives, to show us the truth, and to place it in our lives so that the glory of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, can be seen in us because of his grace and truth being evident in our lives. Why am I asking for an unprecedented response? Because the world needs our response. As Christians and as a church, the world needs to hear us and respond. The world needs to know and hear the name of Jesus. The world needs Jesus.